You're listening to Chainleak, the crypto news podcast with your host, Joshua Roomsburg. Follow and subscribe today.
Welcome to the Chainleak podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Roomsburg. Today's episode is presented by the LTO Network. Today's guest, Rick Schmitz, the CEO of the LTO Network. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, man. Nice to see you again.
All right. So today's episode is about blockchain land registry. Could you give us a breakdown of what that means?
Yeah. We use blockchain and immutability for a way to prove your own piece of land. Like, nobody can change that. There's no way to alter that. And if you want to transfer that land to somebody else, you can do that, but only permitted by you because you hold the private keys, right?
Okay.
So if a government falls, a natural disaster occurs, you can always prove that you were the rightful owner of that piece of land without any government interference. You can always replay the events that happened on the chain and show that you're the owner of the piece of land or of the house you're living in. That's basically what it is.
That was a crazy way. The way you just explained that, if the country were to fall, you would still be able to verify that you were the owner of that land. Now, that's all based on the blockchain itself?
Yeah, well, if you can prove that a certain event has happened. So first you start with the distribution of land, right?
Yeah.
So you issue a piece of land, you issue that to somebody's private key. So you see, okay, this transaction happened. This was signed with this private key, and the transaction is in the chain, and the transaction is issuance of land, and he paid XYZ for it. You can put that all on chain, all that data you can put on chain. And then let's say the government falls, a new government starts. Let's say all the records are burned, so there's no records at all anymore. Then you can prove in a blockchain that you actually were the owner of that land because it was issued and you signed it with your private key. And here's the transaction. You can just find it.
And also if
it was transferred to somebody else, then that somebody else can prove, like, hey, that person that claims that the land is his is not true, because here's the transaction in the chain. We can replay it, and there we go. It shows that it's mine.
So you have the ability to do aftermarket transaction as well?
Yeah, of course. So if you issue the land, then that's just, let's say, your Genesis transaction, right?
Yeah.
And after that, you can have multiple things with the land. It can be transferred. It can be split. You can mortgage it. There's many things you can do with a piece of land, and that's all actions that tie to a certain event.
Would you have to go back to that third party intermediary to conduct a transaction like that?
That all depends on the law there, right? So,
okay.
For instance, in the Netherlands, it's not possible. You need to have a notary verifying this transaction.
Yeah.
But in other countries, it might be much more fluent. Like, the less regulation, let's say, like in Africa, there's just less regulation about this. It's possible to transfer without the interference of a third party. So that is in my opinion the way to go.
In theory, a person could sell a plot of land for, say, $200,000, and they would receive. Is it specific to the LTO network? So they would receive LTO, or could they do the transaction in, say, Bitcoin?
Yeah, well, you can do it in USDC also. You basically connect the smart contract to the LTO chain, where you say, okay, we're going to transfer this land if the Bitcoin or the USDT is received in the wallet of the guy who's transferring the land to the other guy for 200K.
The smart contract triggers it, basically.
Yeah, and that trigger and that smart contract after payment is, so if the condition payment is fulfilled, then the transaction happens on the LTO chain, and then transaction is done.
Now
the land goes from A to B.
Do you guys have a user interface or a business interface for this type of technology?
Yeah, that's necessary. If you don't have an interface, people are not able to use it, right? So, yeah, we created this with the United Nations. Okay. We did that for Afghanistan. We set up the project there with the government there of land and the Ministry of Land. And unfortunately, as everybody knows, the Taliban took over from the local government there. So the UN needed to pull out, and the Taliban is not going to proceed with issuing land on LTO, unfortunately.
Okay.
But yeah, we're doing it with other countries in Africa now, and it's getting a lot of progress. But the good thing is about this that we already developed the interface with the UN for Afghanistan, so we knew what needed to be in there, and we know what the demands are when you're talking about the land registration system.
You've created the groundwork for the infrastructure.
Exactly.
Now, are there other digital currencies that are compatible for these types of transactions for the payment side? If the land registry deed stays on the LTO network, does your user interface give you the ability to pay with a variety of different currencies?
Yeah, but the payment won't happen on the LTO chain because we don't do that. But you can tie in a smart contract where the conditions are fulfilled, let's say a payment.
Yeah.
And that payment can be in crypto, but it can also be a bank transfer.
Okay.
That needs to be verified. And then the verifier is the trigger for the transaction. So there's multiple ways to do that, right? Because also in Afghanistan, there's still a lot of paperwork going from A to B. And the system and the blockchain just create an extra layer, because a centralized system, you can take it down. So what happened in Afghanistan, Taliban took it down, creating their own stuff. But let's say that the government comes back after the Taliban is beaded again.
Yeah.
Then you're able to replay the transactions that happened on LTO.
And you can say, this is my land.
Like, no, but you can say, hey, you remember that system that you implemented that was taken down by the Taliban? These are the transactions that happened on LTO that are pushed in through your system. Let's replay it, and then you can see I'm the rightful owner of this piece of land.
Now, when you think about the traditional land registry services, what are some of the challenges with the old infrastructure?
I would say that's legacy, right? So like the old systems came into place, especially in Europe, when IT started to get big. So when the banks started to use IT, also the governments and the land registration system started to use IT. These IT products are extremely old, and we have been building on top and on top and on top of them. We're talking about COBOL infrastructures. So this is old stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that makes it really hard to add extra stuff and to change the way they work. Also, the more the less dispute there is about a piece of land. Like in the Netherlands, there's not really a dispute about a transaction that happened. I think that never happened even in the last 20 years. So okay. What is the add value for a blockchain? I would say not so much, unless you're going to change the rules where you say, okay, we don't need a third party like a notary anymore to transfer a deed from A to B. Well, if we do that, then you need blockchain. But if you're still going to keep it the old way and there's no problem with trust, then there's no point of implementing blockchain. So I don't think that the market to go to is Europe for these kinds of systems. It's where there is no trust in the government or less trust. So
okay.
That's Africa. So Africa is a sweet spot for us.
Now, when you think about blockchain being a game changer for this type of technology, what would be, if you could give me a list of two or three different things that will hold you back from approaching a country with this technology? What would be two or three reasons why you wouldn't approach a country?
Wow. That's a hard question. Like, I would always do it with a local partner. That's for me number one. Like, okay. If we don't have a local player there, it is unfortunately impossible to do business, especially because there is a lot of bribing and everybody needs to have a piece of the pie. It is It's extremely hard. It's doing business in like 100 years ago in especially Eurobarm used to doing business in the Netherlands, for instance. It's like you set back in time. There's more corruption. There's a lot of red tape everywhere. So I think that is the main concern. Also, what is needed is the openness for a country to change, or if there's nothing in place or just basic stuff in place, then it's also a country to target and to see if they can work with something new. And we get our leads through the UN, so that's quite good. They
that
know
helps.
Which countries are the best to approach on this, and we do that together.
Now, when you think about digital identity, when you implement a digital identity, does that remove the need for a notary when you do these types of transactions?
Yeah, actually it does, because if you have a digital identity layer, which LTO implemented a couple of years back, then you can have something really interesting. You can like identity and ownership, you can attach those to the transaction. So you have the object is the piece of land, and then you have the person that is attached to that object. And having a person or a company that is verifiable, then there is no dispute anymore that it actually went from me to you, for instance.
Yeah.
Because we have our digital identity in our wallet, all our credentials are there, and we're able to verify them through third parties. Like, let's say that I'm transferring land to you, but we want to have a bank transfer in between. So we can use verifiable third parties that can verify the credentials that you are you, let's say with our bank accounts, with signing of a DocuSign, so email, a telephone verification. There's all kinds of third-party things we can do to verify that we are interacting with the right person. And then it's easier to transfer. And then you can actually start removing a third party that would do this work. Because what does a notary do? He does nothing more than being the gatekeeper of a person verification. Like, are you you?
Yeah.
And put the object into the registers, which is basically what blockchain does by default, putting objects in registers.
Now,
but then in a decentralized way.
When you think about them types of transactions, is there a way to implement, you said DocuSign, for example. Is there a way to tie in an email hash or a DocuSign hash into the on-chain transaction?
Yeah. Yeah, you can add transaction details into the transaction itself. Yeah, of
so
course.
You
can also tie documents into the transaction, but then it's not the
like
document itself.
Like
but
a PDF?
Reference. No, yeah, but then you do the reference to that document.
Okay, so like a URL. You could tie a URL into that transaction and say, here's the link to the DocuSign where so-and-so signed off on selling this property. Now that's unique. I like that a lot.
Yeah, of course. If you don't do that, like people are not going to sign with their wallet. Like that's quite hard. It's like
for end users, that's hardest. Yep.
Yeah. Like, and people like don't like, it's hard to change something that people are really used to. So like, you know how long it took for DocuSign to lift off? That took them 20 years.
Right.
So yeah, it took a while before a digital signature was accepted. And now people are all doing it. Everybody, even law firms are accepting it, DocuSign. So that now works. Then let's keep it that way and just reference that transaction into an on-chain transaction.
Yeah.
So you can refer to the document.
That sounds sick. Now, another thing is, what are some other real-world examples for this type of technology? We talk about land registry. Have you guys branched into anything else on chain?
Yeah, digital identity and ownables that are like our main things on chain.
Okay.
Like the verifiable credentials is – plays a really big part. The identity space is going to change. The way we verify now online is absolutely terrible. There is not a good way to verify that you are you when you're doing stuff online.
Right.
And it takes, like, do a KYC, for instance. It's headache. Like, you need right. to send... Yeah, you need to send in proof of address, that's a copy of your bank statement. Yeah. You need to send in your passport. You need to send in selfies. That's all bullshit, in my opinion. If you have a wallet that is verified by trusted third parties, then you should be able to interact online with those credentials and basically do everything from opening bank accounts to buying a beer, proving that you're 18 online.
Yeah.
So basically, that is going to change, and that's going rapidly. Also in Europe, the companies need to have a product passport. So also the passporting of products is going to start. This is an obligation for 2025 or 2026, I think. So there's going to change a lot, and blockchain is extremely well suitable for this.
Okay. Now, you spoke about Africa earlier. Are there any yeah. other countries that you're looking at to implement this type of technology?
Africa is big. There's many countries, or there's right. many countries in right. Africa.
In the continent, but yeah, right.
Yeah, but there is South America where this is also relevant, and they are pretty open to blockchain technology in South America. So that is definitely a target area. That it is way harder to do in Asia, because just doing business in Asia is not so simple.
Have you guys looked into trying to put something together for Venezuela?
We didn't. No, we didn't try to do anything for Venezuela yet. Also, connections there I don't have them. So if you have them okay. or anybody that's listening, send it over, because I would love to talk to them. And they're pretty open-minded on blockchain, right?
Yeah. And another thing is, last month we had an interview with Robert Chapman, who's running for president of Zimbabwe. So if they were to implement anything blockchain based, that's another angle that you could try and tackle, is getting your foot in the door with Zimbabwe and trying to counteract. Like, I'm looking at the different countries that currently their currencies are so inflated that there's different levels to everything going on in these countries. So if you could bring in blockchain based land registry to take away some of the conflict in that region, I think that would be a brilliant aspect as well.
Yeah, 100% agree with you there. Like, I think countries that are politically unstable, where there's a lot of government changes, and where the trust is low amongst the people, that's sweet spot countries.
Yeah.
I think that land registration system would actually work for Zimbabwe really well. But I think they're going to try and solve the Zimbabwe dollar crisis first before right. they can even pay us, because is a billion Zimbabwe dollar going to be 1 or 2 euros next week, right? So that's the question. That's the problem they need to solve there. Definitely we'd love to jump in and meet them also. If you can connect us, do it.
Right. Now, another thing with the land registry software, could you give our listeners a walkthrough of how they would potentially put a land on chain?
Yeah, sure. So the government offices, they identify a piece of land. Then when this is done, they map with an overlay. Then the coordinates of the boundaries are added into this, right?
Okay.
And then the registration is submitted, and then it is issued to the person that is entitled to this land.
So it would be, say if I own a piece of land, I would go to the state or the country. How would that, who would I level up to make that happen?
So it depends on which country you go to, right?
Okay.
So basically when we did the Afghanistan project,
yeah,
then the whole of Kabul was rastered out. Like, everything was cut to pieces, like all over again, because nobody knew who was living where anymore. And then basically the reissuance starts. So people were like getting their property they were already living in. They were actually getting a certificate that land actually belonged to them if they could prove that. But then we made this system with the UN. We put LTO network blockchain under it, and then the certificate was issued with the credentials of this certificate on chain, so they could prove that piece of land with those coordinates was theirs.
Okay.
Even when you take out the system, like the system is down now there, so nothing happens with there anymore. But the transactions,
the data is on chain.
The data is still there. So let's say the government comes back, then this can be replayed and you can actually prove that land was issued to you.
So in 6 months or a year down the road, you guys could open up shop again and be right where you left off?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a unique aspect as well. Now, could you break down some of the benefits of using a blockchain-based land registry?
Yeah, well, definitely. Like, this is the thing, right? There's so many times conflicts arise and various documents versions exist and forgeries and stuff like that. So land registration is like the one perfect use case for blockchain. If there was ever a reason to use blockchain, using it for the most valuable resource in the world makes perfect sense in my
opinion. Right, for sure. Could you give us a breakdown of the impact on developing regions such as Zimbabwe or Venezuela?
Like aside from the problems with corruption, disputes and stuff like that, having a land registration office is expensive. Big information challenge for governments and stuff like that. So developing countries can spend their human resources and financial resources on those things better, in, let's say, bring education, support on healthcare systems, communities and citizens, instead of creating these red tape kind of transactions where we can do this so much more efficient. So I would say that that is like the perfect impact on development regions.
That's what I was just thinking about when you were explaining that, is when you think about a city trying to implement land registry, they probably have 10 to 20 different people in each city that play a part top to bottom on land registry. When you use blockchain technology, you can remove 75% of them people you would have had to hire. Is that a great way of breaking it down?
Yeah, well, basically you remove bureaucracy. Bureaucracy makes things slow, but bureaucracy is needed to create trust, right? Because the more checks and balances there are, the less
conflict,
less fraud happens. Yep. Yeah, the less fraud happens. So, but if you create a system where there is the benefits of bureaucracy, but where there's no trust issue because there is no fraud, because you cannot fraud with it, then you can remove all bureaucracy. Basically, everybody can do something else. So that's basically what blockchain does. It creates efficiency without losing trust.
Now, what does it take to get the right rules and oversight in line to implement blockchain land registry within a country? Is that something where you have to sit down with the leaders of that country and go over, what do you guys need us to do? Or is it you already have the game plan and this is what we need you guys to enforce on your end?
Yeah, it definitely goes a little bit different, right? So where it normally comes from, we're having a talk with the UN has a talk with the country that wants to implement something new or wants to use blockchain.
Okay.
Then there's always a local team that runs the applications that are already in place. Like every country has a document repository, even in like the smallest country, in the poorest country in Africa, they have a document repository system. So that's basically where they file the paperwork. So there is something that is a basic land registration system, a document repository system where the deeds go into and the transfers are submitted to. So if this is the basis, then we can start like adding blockchain and adding applications in order to make it more efficient and more trustworthy. But we can start by adding the hashes of those documents that are uploaded to the repository system by hashing them and placing them in LTO. That's already a proof of existence of a document. Super efficient, extremely easy to make. That's a matter of hours implementation. We're not even talking about weeks.
Right.
So, yeah, that's simple.
Now,
and then you can broad it out from there. And that's basically, it's a collaboration between the local government and the parties that work on their current software applications where we work with.
When it comes to the next 5 years of blockchain technology and land registry, could you give us an outlook of what it could look like?
Yeah, like the long-term vision for land registration is like literally transferring ownership without any third parties being involved. That is maybe not 5 years, but maybe it's 20 years even away.
Okay.
But we're going to get there. There's like digital identity is the first step. If if there's mass adoption around this, then it's going to happen. So because like I told you before, right, having your credentials being able to be verified in a very user-friendly way, then people start interacting it online with it. So then transfers can happen also. Like, oh, you see a house on a website. You're like, okay, I want to buy it. You just agree with the person. Like, okay, I want to transfer this piece of land and I want to buy this house from you. And then you can do it yourself. Like
that would be sick.
But yeah, that will happen. Also, I think it even will happen in Europe or in the States.
Okay.
Because what is the add value of a notary that is just a gatekeeper of information where this can be happening in a more efficient way using verifiable credentials, digital identities, and blockchain transactions?
For sure. Man, it sounds crazy. There's a lot of future developments that we can see over the years coming.
Yeah.
A lot of different countries that are in an economically challenged area right now that could implement this type of technology in the future. I look at the different countries that are disadvantaged right now and the aspect of even the United States, like financially, we have the biggest inflation in U.S. history right now. And that's crazy to even think about that blockchain technology is going to change things here as well.
Yeah, like they will. But it's something that's not really visible, right? So it's just there and people don't think about it. Blockchain is something that has always been a little bit invisible. It's an infrastructure, and like it's not gonna change. Like it's not AI where it's much more like in your face with ChatGPT. Like it's really clear that is going to change a lot for people that are having jobs right now in, let's say, writing essays. Like there's gonna change a lot with AI. But blockchain is not as visible and not as present. It's just an infrastructure layer that supports the immutability of data and be able to like interact in a Web3 environment. And that's something that is new and people are not gonna see and care too much about it. It will just be there and people are gonna trust it at some point.
All right. Well, thank you for being here, Rick. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Joshua. It was nice again to see you.
All right. Until next time, have a good day.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.